This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. When will Jesus come back? That was the subject line of a recent email that I sent out to our entire church family. It was promoting the message that I gave last Sunday. And it hit a chord with several people who were pretty excited about the message. One person came up to me at the beginning of the day and said, "I can't wait to hear today's message. I'm looking forward to it." I thought, well, that was nice. And then before I knew it, someone else said the same thing. Another said the same thing. And pretty soon I realized this is a topic that people are genuinely interested in. Well, this is episode 32 of season one of the podcast Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks so much for joining us. Glad that you found us. Glad that you're joining along and listening along with me. I hope this can sort of be feeling like you and I are sitting down together, having a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and having a dialogue together, thinking about these things that are so important to us as believers. It is one of the great tenets of the Christian faith that Jesus is going to return, that His first coming to this planet as an infant and then growing up as a man crucified and risen from the dead, that was His first appearance, that was His first coming, but that He will come back again. But when? It's a timely conversation. It's a timely discussion. It's an important question. Even for people that do not consider themselves believers at all, the question of when will the world end? Are we at a point in history when humanity is not going to continue on? It's a big question these days. It's a question that people are curious about. They're wondering about. It's in the back of their minds, if not in the forefront of their minds. So this is our topic today. When will Jesus return? It's part of our current podcast theme, which is illustrated by Jesus, where we're looking at these great parables that Jesus taught from the book of Matthew, and we're unpacking them, looking at them a little bit more closely. Today, we're going to take a deeper dive into this topic that I addressed last Sunday, and it brought about a lot of curiosity. Seems like there are a couple categories of people when it comes to the question of when Jesus' second coming will happen. There are those on one side of the spectrum, one side of the scale, who would say that His return is any day now, immediate, it can happen this week. We are definitely living in the end times. It's just a matter of weeks, months. We should be looking for it to happen immediately and certainly within our lifetimes. And there are others who are on the other end of the scale who have said historically as well as would say today that it's still off a ways. It's not immediate. It's something that will happen still yet to come in the future, probably not in our lifetimes. It's still a ways off. My senior year in high school, I started going to a church where it would certainly be categorized in that first side, the side that says it could happen any day. There was a fervency. There was an excitement. There was a regular teaching that Jesus' return would happen any moment, any time. And not only that, there were some predictions about when it would be. I was told that by the time I was 20, that was the furthest off that it would be. So this is just a couple years away, 2-3 years away, for sure. By that year, Jesus would return. And if not by the time I was 20, for sure by the time I was 22. Absolutely. The argument was, I know that Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour, but we can know the season and the year. And so the teaching was strong that it was going to happen within a few years. You can imagine as a high school senior, that was exciting, but it was also a little bit terrifying. And it changed the way I thought about the future. I mean, if Jesus is going to come back in the next few years, do I even enroll in college? Do I get serious about dating someone? How do you think about planning for a career? You know, maybe I should get a credit card and just, you know, run it up to the max. I actually didn't consider that, but you know what I'm saying. If he's coming back soon, then this long-term mentality isn't really there. The consequences of a long-term, you know, existence, long-term life, you're not really thinking in those terms. You're just thinking about, well, I guess all that matters is the next few months, the next few years. And that was part of the culture that I was brought into. Quite frankly, back then, almost so many churches were in that, had that mindset too, and had that approach. And it created a passion and an enthusiasm, an urgency to my faith that I think was healthy. But it also, as I already mentioned, sort of created this short-sightedness. I wasn't really looking into the future maybe as much as I should have. Now, at that time, I had a job. In my first year of college, I had a job as a bank courier. And that meant that I would travel from bank branch to branch and collect these canceled checks to take to the distribution, the main headquarters. Now, some of you, as you're listening to this, aren't sure what checks are. So checks were these pieces of paper that you would promise to pay people money with a check. You know what a check is? Maybe I'll put a picture of it on our Unhurried Instagram page so that you can see it. Wait a second. We don't have an Unhurried Instagram page. You just have to imagine this piece of paper that said, I promise you I'll pay you this much money. And I would collect these checks as from branch to branch and then drive them to the main office in L.A. Now that I think about it, that was kind of a dangerous job because I was walking out of these banks with these big bags filled with checks. And if you didn't know better, you'd think I was carrying cash out of there, which maybe why, you know, I got the job. I don't know. They figured I wasn't smart enough to figure that out. Anyway, that was my job. And anyway, bottom line is I had a lot of time to just think and to a lot of time to burn while I was driving from the branch to branch and driving to LA and back. And so I would get these cassette tapes from the tape lending library from my church. Do you know what a cassette tape is? I'm wondering if you know what that is. Maybe I'll put a picture of that on our Instagram page too, if I had one. You would actually record on these tapes and they would record the messages of the church on those recording devices, and you could slip them in a little place in your car to listen to them. And if you ever, if they ever got jammed, then all the tape would kind of come pulled out of the cassette itself, all unraveled, and you'd have to use a pencil to stick it in and wind it back up. Do you know what a pencil is? Maybe I'll put a picture of that on the Instagram too. Anyway, this was my job. You can imagine it was way back in the day where I was listening to cassette tapes, and I would go to the tape lending library at our church and listen to all the current messages of our pastor, which, by the way, I think is a good idea. Anyway, I was listening to all his messages, and then I got done with all his current messages, and I still had plenty of free time in the car, and so I got some of his old messages. And I would go back several years where then I discovered that he had, many years earlier, had predicted that Jesus would return in a year that had already passed. And suddenly I'm thinking, and he was just as adamant about it, just as convinced, just as persuasive as he was right now about the years ahead. And it made me realize, well, maybe it isn't as clear in the Bible as this guy thought it was. And it got me thinking, it got me wondering, what does the Bible really say about Jesus' second coming? And that's where the parables of Jesus come in. You might be surprised that several of Jesus's parables have to do with his second coming. And we covered a number of those analogies and parables on in my message last Sunday, but there is one that I didn't use. So this is sort of a bonus for you as my podcast listeners. I'm going to cover one that's there in Matthew that we just didn't have time to cover on Sunday. The subtitle of the message on Sunday, the title was, When Will Jesus Return? But the subtitle was, What Do Noah, a Thief, and a Chief Cook Have in Common? And I looked at those three analogies, one of which was a full-blown parable that Jesus gives about his return. And I looked at those in Scripture. Now, the original subtitle of the message before I was done with it actually included one more. The actual subtitle was, What Do Noah, a Thief, a Chief Cook, and 10 Bridesmaids Have in Common? But I actually had so much to say about Noah, the thief, and the chief cook that I didn't get to the 10 bridesmaids at all. I just, by the time the message was done, putting it together, crafting it, I decided I'm not even going to get into that. There's just too much to say on the other. But each one of these were analogies that Jesus used about his return. And the 10 bridesmaids, they didn't make it into the message, so I'm going to share that with you today. As I said, sort of as a bonus to you. I kidded in the message that I got married in 1987 because there was a teaching around that Jesus was going to return in 1988. So I wanted to get married before that happened, but that's actually not true. I wasn't persuaded by that rumor. I was just found the girl of my dreams, so that's why we got married. But one couple that I talked to after the service on Sunday, they had got married on a day about, 11, 12, 13 years ago. They got married on a day that was also in the news, a big day that Jesus was supposed to return. There were those who said the prophecies pointed to him returning then. And they told me that was actually our wedding day. And we remember thinking, wow, what if that's really true? And we're going to get married and suddenly Jesus will return and the world will be over. It'd be like kind of bad timing. You should get married at least the day before. But anyway, as it turns out, Jesus didn't come back then either. So when will he return? Well, Jesus addresses that in Scripture. In Matthew 24:3, the disciples come to him and they say, When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And actually, all of chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, he is giving an answer to that question. But the most direct answer comes in verse 36 of chapter 24, when Jesus says this about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows. Not Jesus said he didn't know, that the angels didn't know, and there's no one on earth that knows. And, I kind of covered a little bit in the message why that was possible for Jesus to be in that position if he was God and all-knowing, and you have to catch that if you're interested. But what I love about that statement is that Jesus, because he entered fully into our humanity, he lives exactly where we live. He experiences what we experience. We can put ourselves in his sandals, and he can put himself in our shoes. He experiences what it means to be a believer today. And part of what it means to be a believer is that we have a Savior who so identifies with us and our humanity in that while he was here on earth, Jesus limited his availability to the time of his return. He erased that from his memory bank. He limited himself in such a way that he didn't have that information accessible in his humanity. And so he understands what it's like to live in this world and not know the date of his return. That's part of what it meant to be a believer back then, and it's still what it means to be a believer today. And I think that's part of the wonder of having a sympathetic Savior who knows us so well and experiences what we experience. So some of you are wondering, I don't remember a parable about 10 bridesmaids. Well, in Matthew 25:1, Jesus says this, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." And you're saying, oh, I remember there's the parable of the 10 virgins. But I think it makes more sense. So if you think about it, it's 10 bridesmaids. Back then in that culture, when a couple was getting married, the young groom would gather around him his unmarried friends at his house as kind of the first part of the celebration, the ceremony. And the young bride would gather her unmarried friends at her house, thus 10 virgins. And so this really is picturing a bridal party, two bridal parties, the groom and his groomsmen, and the bride and her bridesmaids, and they're gathered at their separate homes at the beginning of the ceremony. And there at that separate home, the bridesmaids would wait for the groom to arrive at some unexpected time and bring everyone back to their house for the wedding reception and then a party that would last for several days. And this is just part of the culture. And although that was the custom for this to happen exactly this way, we're not exactly sure why, but often the groom and the bridal party or the groomsmen would arrive sometime in the middle of the night. And then they would then gather up the bridesmaids who have been waiting, take them back to the groom's house where they would let the festivities begin. It was a part of the joyful celebration, again, that would last for several days. And these bridesmaids, well, they represent us as we wait for Jesus, who is analogized here by the groom who is on his way. They represent us waiting for Jesus and his second coming. So how did these 10 bridesmaids do waiting for the groom? Well, Jesus goes on to say that 5 of them were foolish, while 5 of them were wise. How so? How were they foolish? Well, the foolish ones took lamps with them, but they didn't take any extra oil with them. Where the wise ones, they brought along extra jars of oil along with the lamps in order to keep them lit. The lamps back then were these large kind of dome-shaped torches that were fueled with rags soaked in oil. To be used while they were walking outside. They would light the way on a dark night. And that extra oil would then ensure that those lights would last. They would be like batteries for our flashlights. These were the ways that they would ensure that they would have ongoing light throughout the night. But those lamps often had to be replenished with new oil every 15 minutes in order to keep them lit. So having extra oil with them was absolutely essential in order for them to make sure they had light throughout the night. As the evening went on, the bridesmaids fell asleep. But at midnight, there was this announcement, this shout, "The bridegroom is here. Come out and meet him." It says that all of them woke up and trimmed their lamps and prepared to go to the celebration. But the foolish ones realized that they were out of oil and that they weren't going to be able to walk through the evening in the processional without their lamps. So they said, "Would you loan us some of yours?" And the wise one says, "No, you need to get your own. We only brought enough for ourselves. You need to go buy some." And while they went out to buy some oil, who knows where in the middle of the night, the party started without them. And when they tried to catch up with the party, Jesus said they were not allowed in. And that's where he ends with the sobering words, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the hour, the day, or the hour." And again, so Jesus told this parable especially so we would understand something about our attitude and our approach to his second coming. There's several takeaways that I think that we should look at. First of all, I just love the whole analogy of a bridegroom that is a groom with and a wedding party, because it just reminds us that we're not supposed to be waiting for a day or an hour. Ultimately, we're waiting for a person. We're waiting for Jesus. It's not about circling a date on the calendar or a upcoming year. It's about getting to know someone that we're going to spend eternity with and getting to know him well. We're not waiting for a bunch of prophecies to be fulfilled. We're not waiting for a set of events to happen. We're waiting for a person. We're waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for what happens after those events happen. And so I think the analogy itself is really powerful in that regard. Secondly, it underscores what Jesus has been saying with all the previous analogies, and that is when it comes to Jesus' return and the date or the timing of it, no one knows. In fact, it's intended to be unexpected. We need to be waiting and prepared whether it comes quickly or takes a long time. No one knows. There's nothing in the parable that indicates that there were certain signs or indicators that if the people back then would have understood, the bridesmaids would have been clued into, they would have been able to predict when the groom was going to come. Instead, the focus of the parable is that there was no indication whatsoever when he was going to arrive, and they needed to just be ready, and quite frankly, they needed to be prepared in case it was longer than they thought. That to me is again underscored in this parable, no one knows. And finally, if we're going to be really prepared for Jesus' second coming, then we need to plan for the future. We need to be those who are prepared and planful and intentional about it taking longer than we think. That it's not just, you know, I have enough fervor, enthusiasm, love, and excitement to last for a day or a month or a year, but for a lifetime. We need to be ready to have oil in place. That is, we need to have resources and the faith, the stamina, the faithful stamina to stay engaged with our walk with him for the long term, even if it takes longer than we think. And those who are wise and those who are foolish are separated in this parable by Jesus by those who had a long-term perspective, who are willing to focus in that direction. So I think it's powerful for us to think about this parable and to think about it in the terms that Jesus wanted us to understand it and to see how it would apply for us as well today. Well, thanks for letting me be a part of your day. Whatever you're doing, I hope this has been an unhurried time to really reflect on this fantastic parable by Jesus that tells us so much about what it means to be prepared for his return. I'm going to be doing something kind of fun here in the future. I want to record a podcast with a live audience on Saturday, September 7th. And if that date, September 7th, 2024, that is, if that date is still in front of you, would you like to be with me in the studio? I'd love to have you there. It'd be kind of fun, interactive. We'll have a chance to make it a little bit more conversational and two-way. You don't have to say anything. If you don't want to, you can just be there to witness it, but there'll be an opportunity if you want to. Again, that's Saturday, September 7th, 2024. Just send me an email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll send you all the information that can set you up to be there. Again, that's coming up on in a couple weeks, and I think it's going to be a little different than what we normally do, and I'm looking forward to it. Well, until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.